As I said at the beginning of our service today, today is our church family communion service. And we introduced this way of having communion, this way of doing a service, about, I want to say 5 years ago, but my sense of time's a bit shot, really, so something like that. And when we introduced it and we were planning, we had quite a few conversations about what was important to include whilst the young people were still in with us before they went to groups. And we decided that it was important that we would have a confession, a time of saying sorry to God, and a prayer of absolution, a time of receiving the assurance of God's forgiveness for us. And also that we would have the peace, that bit where we all go around and shake hands and say hello to folk, as part of the lead-in to sharing the bread and wine at the table. And we decided to do that because they're important, because they recognise the importance of our reconciliation with God, our peace with God, and our reconciliation with each other, our peace with each other, and the importance of that peace to our ongoing walk with Jesus. And our commitment to the values of loving God and loving each other, our commitment to peace and reconciliation as an expression of that love, shapes the way that we worship and we pray together. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been exploring this short passage from Paul's letter to the Christians living in the city of Colossae. And we've been reflecting on how it can shape our lives together, how it shapes our love for each other. And this week we are focusing on verse 15, and actually only the first bit of verse 15, as Peter's going to be helping us to explore thankfulness next week. So our text for this morning is, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. The focus of this instruction is at the end there. The focus is that as members of one body, we have been called to peace. Elsewhere in some of his letters, Paul talks at length about this metaphor of the people of God, of us, being like a body. In his first letter to the Christians in Corinth, he conjures up the ridiculous image of the foot complaining that because it's not a hand, it's not part of the body. And the ear deciding to strike out on its own because it's not an eye. No, Paul says, that's ridiculous. It's one body, each with different gifts and different roles, but one body together. And just like that, you are one body. You are Jesus' body. You don't have any choice about that. You can't strike out on your own, declare independence unilaterally. It doesn't work like that. So, given that reality, we have to learn to work together, to encourage each other, build each other up, celebrate each other's gifts. We need to learn how to be at peace with one another. Which, as I said at the beginning, is why we have that time of the peace during our services. Now, I know that some of us find it a bit uncomfortable. The thing is, part of it genuinely being the peace is for us to be sensitive to each other's personal space, our preferences for physical contact or not. That's part of it, but we persist with it because it's an important sign of our commitment to peace. Of course, if that is all that we do to work on our peace, then it's not enough. There is no good us having the peace and then harbouring bitterness, anger or resentment in our hearts against the person we've just shaken hands with or waved across the room to. There's no point saying, peace be with you, to someone and then gossiping about them or criticising them behind their backs at coffee time or speaking thoughtlessly or unkindly to them in the week. The peace, it's a sign and it's important, but it's not the meat of it. The meat of it is how we actually are together. So how are we to make the peace between us real? How are we to put aside the things that get in the way of peace? How are we to build up the things that encourage peace and mutual love and support? How are we to do that last bit? Well, I'd like to suggest that peace between flows from peace within. Peace between flows from peace within. Or, as Paul puts it, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. If we're to have true peace with others, then we need to have peace within. Our hearts need to be ruled by peace. So what does it look like to have a heart ruled by peace? Well, perhaps it might help a little bit to think about the opposite. What does a heart that isn't ruled by peace look like? What does that look like? Well, I think we might have already touched on a few things, haven't we? If a heart has got bitterness or resentment bubbling up in it, then it's probably not being ruled by peace, is it? But it seems to me that there are other things that can disturb our hearts as well, make them unpeaceful places. Anxiety, fear, they're not characteristics of a heart that is ruled by peace. Now, those things, they might come from all kinds of sources, from traumas in the past, to feeling overwhelmed by the circumstances of life or what's going on in the world, to mental health difficulties. There's all kinds of reasons why we might feel anxious or afraid. Some of those things we feel are outside our control. Some of them we might feel like we have some control over. But many of them we don't. They're things that happen to us or have happened to us. And while our heads know that our hearts don't feel very peaceful, we would love them to. We just don't know how to get there. We know that the lack of peace in our hearts is affecting our relationships with other people, and that makes it worse. And we feel even less peaceful because we feel guilty about the fact we can't get in with anybody because we've got our hearts in turmoil. What are we meant to do about it? What are we meant to do about it? Well, just as I suggested that peace between flows from peace within, I'd like to suggest that peace within flows from peace received. Peace within flows from peace received. Or, as Paul puts it, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You see, it's not just peace in general that Paul is pointing to. It's the peace of Jesus. So what is the peace of Christ? Well, shall we hear from the man himself? What did Jesus say about his peace? Well, this is what Jesus said about his peace in conversation with his friends and followers on the night before he died. We heard some of that conversation towards the end of the conversation from John 16 that Ali read for us earlier. But earlier on in the same conversation, the same evening, a couple of chapters earlier in John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And then in John 16 we heard this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So, in the first of those verses, that little bit teaching about peace, Jesus contrasts the peace that he gives with the peace that the world gives. And in the second, he goes further. He says, not only can the world not give you real peace, but it will cause you trouble. So what is the world that he's talking about? In this context, I'd like to suggest that it's anything that isn't Jesus that we look to for peace. Money, education, fame, a better job, alcohol, nicer clothes, getting fit, better health. The list goes on. None of them are Jesus. Nothing intrinsically wrong with any of them. Some of them are really good. But none of them are actually going to bring us peace in and of themselves. In fact, putting our hopes of peace on any of them or anything like them that isn't Jesus is more likely to lead us to be more troubled. In contrast, the peace that Jesus gives is deep and reliable. And rather than leading to trouble, it leads to more peace. It's a virtuous spiral as we lean into Jesus' peace, so our hearts are ruled by peace and we discover more peace. The things in the world that trouble us, that make us afraid, that cause us to be anxious, have been overcome by Jesus. He created us. He knows us. He loves us. He died for us. He was raised to life for us and for our forgiveness. He offers us life in all its fullness. He has brought us peace. And that peace is a gift. It seems to me really important we get our heads around it, that Jesus has given us his peace. It is a gift for us to receive. We don't have to generate it. We don't have to chase it down. We don't have to grit our teeth and make it happen. It is a gift that we have been given for us to receive. That's why Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let, allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts. And this is where I often hit a problem. Because I don't always want to let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. Sometimes I would quite like to hold on to being cross with someone. I know that I shouldn't. I'm not quite ready to let it go just yet. On other occasions, my anxiety gets in the way, and I don't know how to let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. And when I try, it doesn't seem to make any difference. I'm not standing here this morning with this all sorted, or pretending that it's easy. But despite that, I remain convinced that in the end, peace between flows from peace within. Flows from peace received. I believe that as we choose to trust Jesus, as we open ourselves up more to the work of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit, as we were reminded in our prayer meeting before the church, before the service this morning, one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Fruit tree doesn't have to work really hard to generate fruit. It just comes as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, so the peace will come, the fruit will come. As we rest in our loving Father's arms, so we can receive the peace of Christ. It can rule in our hearts, calming our fears and our anxieties, sweetening our bitterness. And that will then flow into true peace between us, and we will be able to fulfill our call as the people of God, the body of Christ, be a witness to the power of God's love and peace to the world around us. Amen.